The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Stabbing Into a Mystery, the podcast that digs deep into chilling murder cases and their eerie secrets. I'm your host, DJ Red Rum, and together we'll explore these shocking stories. Are you ready to stab into the mystery? Let's begin. Hello and welcome to episode number 4. The story I am talking about today is one of those heartbreaking cases that just end up irritating you after hearing the lack of information. As you know, when someone typically disappears in cases like this, you don't see any sign of them again until they are discovered. But in this case, this young woman was reported missing and then resurfaced again 10 months later in an off-putting and mysterious Polaroid picture. In 1988, Tara Calico was 19 and was known for being a kind and sweet person. It was so easy for people to gravitate towards her, especially with her outgoing personality. Tara lived with her parents in a town in New Mexico called Belen. On September 30th, 1988, she had plans to go on a 36-mile bike ride, which was something she would regularly do. After the bike ride, she wanted to meet up with her boyfriend so that they could play tennis together that afternoon. So, she would leave at around 9:30 in the morning. I was curious to see how long a 36-mile bike ride would be, and online it says it would be about 2 to 3 hours. So, she would have plenty of time to finish the ride, get home, and get ready before going out with her boyfriend. Before she left, she told her mom, Patty Doyle, that she planned to be back by noon at the latest. She also said that if she wasn't home by 12, her mom should go out looking for her. Her mom didn't take that comment too seriously and continued on with her day, up until it was around noon. Tara still wasn't home, and of course, those last words Tara told her started to continuously play over and over in her head. So she went out to look for her and drove the full 36-mile route. The whole way, she didn't see any sign of her. So when she got back home without spotting any trace of Tara, she turned around and went up and down the entire route again. With both of these trips being unsuccessful, Patty started to worry even more. Just to clear some things for you, Tara wasn't biking on some remote trail in the woods or anything else like that. Her route actually went through some areas known to be busy places. She rode along two different highways, Highway 47 and Highway 60. So there were a lot of people driving by. Patty was able to find some witnesses that did spot her during her bike ride. She learned that Tara had been riding near the highway just 15 to 20 minutes before Patty decided to go looking for her. However, those witnesses also told Patty that there was a light-colored Ford pickup truck on the road at the same time, and to them, it appeared that the truck was following Tara. But of course, no one saw what happened after. So no one knew if she got snatched by the truck or if she was able to get away from it. But either way, there was no trace of her. It was like Tara had vanished into thin air. Patty was hopeful that if she reported the disappearance to the police, they would be able to find Tara pretty quickly. As soon as she made the report, the officers jumped into the investigation. Unfortunately, they did not find Tara, nor did they find any indication of where she had gone or why. There were skid marks on the ground that looked like they could have come from a bike. Detectives also found a cassette tape and a few pieces of broken plastic. Right away, investigators thought that the plastic could have been from a broken Walkman, and this was a big discovery because Tara owned a Walkman and was wearing one during her bike ride. Not only that, but she also owned the same exact cassette tape that the police found on the road. So Tara's parents actually saw this discovery as good news because it was a clue in the case. So even though her family still had no idea where she was, they were hopeful. To them, the odds seemed good that Tara would come home safe and sound. However, days went on, and then weeks. And then 10 months later, they still hadn't found Tara, and those hopes were slowly disappearing. Patty and her husband John didn't hear about any other breaks in the case until July of 1989. One day that summer, the phone rang and John picked up. It was a friend of his who had a tip. This friend had seen a news story about a mysterious clue that had been found all the way on the other side of the country in Port St. Joe, Florida. One day, a woman was running errands at a convenience store. She was walking through the parking lot and she noticed a parked van. When she left the store, the van was gone. But there was something very alarming and disturbing in that same parking spot. It was a Polaroid picture that showed a teenager or a young woman lying on her back with her arms behind her back as though she was tied up. The woman also had duct tape over her mouth. Behind her, the photo also showed a much younger boy lying on his side that also had duct tape on his mouth and his arms were also behind his back. When the woman turned the Polaroid over to the police, it was clear to them that these two were being held hostage in the back of a van or a truck. They were able to confirm that the photo had been taken very recently. That Polaroid company actually changed the kind of film that they used in their cameras in May of 1989. So they knew that the photo was taken at most 2 months before the photo was actually found. Police would actually release this picture to news stations in hopes that someone might recognize the hostages and help identify them. As soon as Patty saw the picture, she just knew the girl in the picture was her daughter. Patty wasn't just basing this on the fact that the girl had a similar face, build, and hair color, but she also had a distinctive scar on her leg that matched the one Tara had. Patty also noticed a book lying on the blankets, and it was Tara's favorite book. So, obviously, Patty would call the police and let them know that she believed the woman in the picture was her daughter, who had been missing for 10 months. Another worried family in New Mexico would also call the police, telling them that they thought the boy in the picture was their missing son, Michael Henley. In April of 1988, the 9-year-old boy had gone missing while he was on a hunting trip with his father and a friend of the family. They were camping in the remote Zuni Mountains of New Mexico. Less than a half hour after they arrived and set up their tents, his father and the friend realized that they hadn't seen Michael in a little while. So they walked around looking for him, but he just vanished. Michael and Tara went missing about 5 months apart from one another, and their cases don't really have a lot in common. Tara was a young woman and Michael was a young boy. She presumably got abducted off her bike in a busy area while he vanished from a campsite in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing to link their cases whatsoever except for the picture, assuming that the woman and the boy were actually Tara and Michael. However, police weren't so certain that it was them, and they had analysts examine the photo multiple times. Their final conclusion was that they did not think the girl was Tara, but instead someone that strongly resembled her. So now the question wasn't just about who the woman and the boy in the picture was, but it was also about whether or not the photo was even real, which was controversial for all the experts. I mentioned before that the woman and the boy both had duct tape over their mouths, but experts noticed that the skin near the duct tape didn't look red or irritated at all. So they believe that whoever took the picture had put on the duct tape right before they got the camera out. They also believe that the photos were staged. They thought that the woman's posture wasn't totally consistent with what you would expect if her arms were really tied behind her back. The most frustrating detail was regardless of everyone's opinions, nobody could say for sure if this picture was staged or not. Still, police could not dismiss the evidence entirely, but they also didn't trust it either. To make matters more complicated, the Polaroid ended up not being the only possible picture of Tara to surface after her disappearance. Two more were found in random places, including a construction site in California. And thanks to the way Polaroid made their film, police knew one of the pictures was from June of 1989 or later, and the other was from February of 1990 or later. Meaning, if these pictures really were of Tara, then she was still alive at least a year and a half after her abduction. Neither photo showed Michael, it was just Tara or someone who looked like her. The first one was very blurry and difficult to tell who it was. And the second one was eventually dismissed as a hoax, which was messed up and a waste of time. On June 22, 1990, Michael's family would hear some devastating news. A rancher was riding his horse through the Zuni Mountains when he spotted what looked like a badly decomposed body in the brush. The remains had clearly been out there for a while, and they were able to identify the body as Michael through his dental records. He was found 7 miles away from the campsite that he had disappeared from. Even though that is a long distance for a young boy to walk by himself, there was no reason to believe that he had been kidnapped in New Mexico and then transported to Florida to appear in this Polaroid picture and then dropped off back in the Zuni Mountains, 7 miles away from where he initially went missing. The medical examiner was able to determine that his cause of death was due to hypothermia, and this made sense since there was a late springtime snowstorm that happened not that long after he was reported missing. There was no sign of foul play, so that meant that Michael was not the boy in the photo. It was still possible that the picture was real and it was actually some other boy in the picture, and it also meant that there was a chance that the girl in the photo was actually Tara. Tara's parents were eager to hear any news about their daughter, especially good news. So people started to believe that they had become gullible, which caused them to believe any pictures that would pop up. They would even move to Florida trying to be closer to the last possible sighting of Tara. They had a room for her in this new house and would buy her Christmas presents every year, which is so heartbreaking. Tara's parents weren't the only ones eager to find her, though. Melinda Esquivel, Tara's friend, could not move past the disappearance of Tara. Once Tara's parents passed away of old age without finding out what happened to their daughter, Melinda began to lead the charge in the case. She wanted to solve the case and bring justice to her friend. Melinda would do her own investigation in New Mexico, and she was even able to obtain copies of the police records on the case. Melinda hasn't disclosed everything that she has found out, but she did share a theory that she had. According to Melinda, there was a boy from Tara's school that had a crush on her. Melinda didn't publicly name the boy, but she does know who he is. Melinda also believed that the boy asked Tara out and she rejected him, which then made him want to get revenge. So the theory goes that this guy grew to be obsessed with Tara and he would be stalking her and would show up at parties and other places to make her feel unsafe. On the day of her disappearance, Melinda believed that the boy and some friends somehow knocked Tara off her bike, and as she tried to run away, they would catch up to her and take her hostage, and then at some point, murder her and hide her body. Of course, there was a lot of debate and controversy over whether that theory was true or not, especially since Melinda never showed the proof that made her believe that to the public. In June of 2023, authorities in New Mexico announced that they believe they have sufficient evidence to submit the case to the district attorney's office for potential charges. But to this day, they haven't released any more information. So it is possible that they changed their mind and decided that they actually did not have enough information. They also never mentioned who they thought it was, but I'm assuming since they didn't have a body, they couldn't actually make a case against this person. It's sad that Tara's parents never got any type of closure on where their daughter was or anything like that. This case just lacks any evidence that could help police. Even potential evidence, like the picture, just complicated things even more. So hopefully Melinda's efforts help to solve this case eventually. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye!